It's another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. For today, Sunday, August 29th, it is extremely hot still, but also really hot. Nice out.
It's hot.
It's nice.
It's hot and nice.
It's nice.
It's my balls are sweaty and I hate it.
Bat wings in full effect.
That was TMI, dude.
Well, they are.
What do you think happens?
They are sweaty.
Hot?
They're sweaty, and I hate it.
I wouldn't almost, know.
I mean, if you're a dude,
I hate Steve's sweaty balls.
Yeah, me too. Sorry.
This is going to be a good one.
We're here with a lot of our favorite Fallscasters, including Mr. Sweaty Balls himself, Stephen Mulay, and Jennifer Mulay.
Yep. Hello.
Howdy doodly do.
Sweaty.
And the internet incapable, unfortunately, Mike and Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
Hello. And I still hate you, Alex.
Even though he's not here.
Still no. hate him
more now.
And I will be your moderator again this week. I'm Bart.
Yay.
I'm sure people are sick of hearing that.
No.
Never.
Well, on today's Fallscast, we'll have my interview with Sean and Jesse, owners of Tiki Underground in Hudson, who early next year will be moving to the Falls.
So exciting. Where in the Falls?
They will be moving to the former Hunt's location on Front Street, directly across the street from Highbridge Glens.
Do they talk about the renovation of the building and what they're going to do? Ooh, I'll have to listen to it.
So you get to hear a little bit of history behind Tiki Underground and some of the projects they have planned for the new location.
It's going to be really exciting. Are they keeping, I mean, I know that in the back of the building, it looks like they have like a deck patio area. Are they going to keep that? Are they going to make that?
It'll be a little bit different than their current location because it is a smaller space.
Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned.
Yes. So everyone will be sick of my voice by the end of this show.
Never.
Also, we want to continue to encourage our readers and listeners to shop local. Even if it is Tiki Underground, which currently is not in the Falls, you know, visit localish places. Anybody shop anywhere cool this week?
Where'd we go? We Hope Soap on Friday.
On Front Street in their new location, which I didn't realize was a new location. So, yeah, that was really fun.
We tried out the Holy Frijoles. But we went to their food truck at Pride.
At Lock 3.
They had their food truck there, Lock 3. So we tried their food truck food, which I'm assuming is similar to their restaurant food. We had Molly Brown's this morning. That was quite tasty. Where else did we go?
Longhorn last night for your birthday.
Longhorn for my birthday.
We were eating out fools.
What else?
What do we do Friday before Hope Soap?
I took pictures of JD and Ken.
For the last Falls Fridays, is that what that's called?
Yep, did that.
Yeah, their band.
What else did we do? I know we have more. We did lots.
Yeah, I can't remember everything. Oh well, that's it.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think we went anywhere again because we're pretty lame.
No, we did the week before. We went to Leo's and
whatnot,
but
Mike's getting a new tattoo from a shop in Cuyahoga Falls. Do you want to talk about the tattoo? Where you're getting it at?
Okay. I could, but
never mind.
It's not done yet. Now I went to Bespoke Tattoo up on Graham Road, which used to be Wanderlust, but they moved off a Portage over to Graham by Romeo's Pizza. But
who's your artist?
Jake Ulmer.
He does really good stuff
and whatnot. Yeah.
When is it going to be done?
$1 million question.
Yeah. Going October. Like October 13th or whatever to do a second sitting, and the first sitting was a lot of detail work and whatnot. So we'll see how much gets done on the second sitting.
That's
cool. You should check out his Instagram page. He does really great work. If you're looking for like the kind of the black and white kind of, what would kind of technique would you call that, Mike? Like a
black and gray, the hyper realistic.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really realistic looking stuff that he does. Takes forever though. It is a lot of fine line work and whatnot, but it'll take a while, but
Wow.
It's a cool shot.
Well, when it's done, you'll have to show it off.
Yeah. I only got part of it and you really can't see it. So
Yeah. Hey, that's a big tattoo to begin with too.
Yeah. I forgot Bart saw some of it. Yeah. It's, it'll be bigger than the one that I have on my left arm. So,
which he got at that place as well. So
different artist.
Fan.
Yeah.
Different artist, but yeah, big fan of that place. So
cool. Did we mention that we did Float the River?
No. How was that?
That was 2 weeks ago. It was amazing. It was so good that we all need to do it. They're only on the weekends now, but, we should go buy floats, inner tubes, and you can just put in at Brust Park and have another card.
It's $20 each person
per float.
Per float, and they pick you up at the blue parking deck across from the library, and they take you in school buses to the drop-off location. They pull up and you get out of the bus, and there's this big pile of floats you pick from. They give you some crazy safety spiel that this woman, young lady, has given 1,000 times, and she dresses everybody down. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then you just get in, and it's
you just float, and it's
took
awesome.
Us about an hour.
And you can tie floats together. There's like little clips. Some of them have clips. You can grab them, so you can tie your floats together.
So we don't lose each other.
Don't lose each other.
Yeah, it's not very fast.
No, and you're allowed to have up to 5 floats together. Clip together, I guess, more for safety. Like, they're not policing you, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but there are a lot of, like, logs and things in the river that you have to be careful of. So, but it was so nice. Bring bug spray. There were a lot of damselflies. You know, they don't bite, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool. Pest. They just hang out, so...
One of my sandals fell off. I used it as a paddle.
Yeah, so...
At a certain point, so...
Steve paddled with us. He had... Yeah, that was handy. But I highly recommend, and there's no reason why people just couldn't go buy floats, and then you just...
Well, you can buy your own float. Your old phone float's $25-$30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you could do it whenever you wanted.
But the issue is you have to deflate it in order to fit it in your car and inflate it.
True.
And you have to have these two cars because you have to drop it off. And you drive to the drop off location, then you have to leave a car at the waterworks where you get out.
You can get out at waterworks.
I mean, I guess if you wanted to, you could actually go all the way down to Front Street and get out there, which is probably about another hour longer, I would imagine.
Yeah, but it was super relaxing. I highly recommend.
I'd probably be burnt to a crisp, though. Did you get sunburned at all?
Put on suntan lotion, obviously.
Yeah. Or you can wear a water shirt.
SPF, like, 1,000 by the water.
You can wear a water shirt.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
It's very relaxing.
Oh, I'll have to give it a try.
I think. Thanks. And you can stay cool because you just keep dipping your legs in the water.
Right.
It's fun.
And at any point during the ride, you fall out of your float or you want to get out. You can jump out and it's like waist deep the whole way.
Yeah. Okay.
Never goes over waist deep. So.
Oh, that'd be fun. Well, what about you, Bart?
I didn't go anywhere this week. However, went to lots of places the week before. Let's see. I went down to Looking Glass Gallery and checked that out. And there's a billion things there I want to buy that
I
won't for good reasons.
It's dangerous. It's so cool in there.
And then went over to Shelf Life. She's back open.
Yay!
Oh, that's good. That's good.
She feeling better? She's feeling
she
all
right? She is, yes.
Good.
We forgot to mention, we went to Hi-Ho.
Ooh.
Got a pizza, drank some beer. That was tasty.
And Pavs.
And Pavs at least twice. So.
I keep remembering in spurts, so yes. Sorry.
And then I went over to Farmer's Rail. Went out to lunch with my mom. Had a sandwich that I'm not going to get again.
Oh,
no. Which one didn't you like? Which one?
I got a chicken Caesar wrap, but I got it with grilled chicken. And I think just something about the combination of ingredients in it, it didn't taste right.
Aww.
I'm wondering if I'd gotten like it with fried chicken instead of the grilled, if it would have tasted different.
I've just had their Cuban and a burger.
What
That's
Gabe
about
had.
The same
Gabe
for me.
Had something else too. Gabe had like a
Philly cheesesteak or something like that.
And that was really good too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I also saw on our way back to the car that The Works is going back to the tradition of the Fall Theater and showing Rocky Horror in October.
Oh my gosh.
Still, I've never seen it.
Well, we're going to have to
Me
go now.
Me either. No, but don't tell. I heard that you don't tell anybody that you've never seen it before because bad things happen.
they'll get you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should try and go.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah.
It would be fun.
We have to figure out what the hell to dress up like.
Yeah. The Fall Theater used to be in the Guinness World Records for having shown Rocky Horror the most times.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So it's nice to see that they're going back to the tradition.
Yeah, that should be fun.
I wonder if that'll draw a big crowd.
I bet it will. And they serve alcohol.
Oh, yeah. God.
You used
to sneak it in. And back in the day, I remember having to sneak it in. And now you just give me a drink.
Oh, man. Might be off the rails.
And as always, we would love to hear your article ideas and suggestions for interviews for the podcast. If you'd like to collaborate with us or see us interview someone specific, you could drop us a line at fallsfreepress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page. If you don't, we might just have to change the theme of the podcast to only reading reviews of the backs of hot sauce packets.
Oh, no.
That could be interesting.
Not just reading the hot sauce packets, reading reviews that people have written about the back of the hot sauce packets.
Oh, that could be interesting. Yeah.
Also, keep sending us your feedback. Tell us what you think of the show. You can email us or review us on whatever podcast catcher you use. You know, let other people know what awesome people we are and what an awesome show we have.
Yeah, we are pretty awesome. That's true.
Yep. We need all the love we can get.
Awesome sauce.
Not hot sauce.
And finally, get the shot. If you don't think it's a vaccine, fine. Get a shot.
Just get it. Get the poke.
I mean, come on. Really? Get the fucking shot.
Do it.
Help society come back to life.
Instead of being chicken shit.
Just do it.
Join the collective.
A selfish chicken shit.
Tell us how you really feel, Steven.
Oh, yeah.
That's my mild. This is me being mild.
Okay, I'm
going to
put you on mute.
So, into our roundtable this week. It's definitely going to be a short show this week, guys.
Oh, boy.
Yay.
No news is good news.
With Gary Good News.
The city's original fire bell that's been part of a memorial at Oakwood Cemetery has been moved to station number 3 on Portage Trail, staying on display in the newly renovated station until a permanent memorial could be designed and built at station number 1 on Front Street. Apparently, the company that originally cast the bell back in 1882 in Cincinnati will be the one that will be refurbishing it for the final memorial.
That's so cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's actually impressive. Yeah, it's impressive that company's still around and can still do that.
True. That is true.
You could say it's a ringing endorsement for their...
The longevity of their ringy dingy.
Yes.
Ringy dingy.
Ringy dingy.
Bang my bell, baby.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Sorry, Bart.
The fire station is going to be having a fundraiser breakfast on September 5th to help raise money for this new memorial.
Okay. Where are they having the breakfast?
It's going to be at the new fire station on Portage Trail.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Pancakes and whatnot.
Yeah.
I can get down on it.
Yeah, I was reading something about that. I think it was $8 per person or something like that with a $40 family limit or something like that.
Hmm.
That's not bad.
No, it isn't bad. Going to a good cause, too.
Yeah.
We still have like a 10-pound bag of pancake mix left. Steve and I can get out there with our camp stove and start slinging pancakes. We went camping last weekend and made pancakes for 50 people. So,
50 people.
Yeah. Obviously not enough pancakes.
We used up a 10-pound bag of pancake mix over 2 days and probably cooked about 10 to 15 pounds of bacon and another 10 pounds of sausage. And we gave it out for free to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, we could definitely help with those, yeah, was, the fire department fundraiser.
Yeah.
We
could slip.
And this is over camping stoves, too. So.
Oh, my goodness.
It takes some time.
Yeah. So from that ringing endorsement to a school that didn't have any ringing this week.
Nice.
School started this week for Falls Public Schools, and everything went swimmingly.
Yay.
2 days in, and school closed for a non-snow day.
Ooh.
Anti-snow day.
Well, day. Heat? It was a heat day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
2 days in.
Sad.
Too hot.
Yeah.
It has been really, really hot.
Maybe they should push the start of the school year into September.
I thought they talked about that, but for some reason they didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, if it keeps, until they get an air-conditioned space.
Yeah.
Which it won't be until the new school's built. They might have to consider that.
Well, they would have to do it everywhere, right? I mean, does the elementary schools have air conditioning?
Some do.
Some do. Some
do
don't.
They?
I thought DeWitt did.
I think DeWitt does.
I don't know.
I don't know about the other ones.
And I thought I recalled from just when I was in school that sometimes, even if it had air conditioning, it would be set on a timer. So once you started school, the air conditioner was turned off.
Oh, and, my.
Yeah, and, like, not turned on until spring.
Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Interesting.
Rough.
That's a money-saving thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to stick the solar panels on the roof.
Yes.
That's what it's time for.
See, that's the project. Get the students to learn about solar energy by building solar panels that will go on the school.
Yeah, and use it and saving the school
job
money.
Labor.
Oh, vocational.
It's called learning.
Vocational activity.
Oh, vocational. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're going. Okay.
School and see, and unlike where you have to pay in college, where you have to pay to do that.
True. You can learn from free.
Yes.
Prepper's fun.
Man, that's a great idea. We were thinking about doing some solar panels. Maybe we get some kids to come out and do it and just tell them it's a learning experience.
It's a vocational thing, yeah.
It's a vocational thing.
We can all volunteer to do it.
I don't know. You start hooking energy items that develop energy into batteries and it's not hooked up right, you're talking gigantic fire. So I would definitely want to have an expert check it after some students work on it.
Well, of course. Yeah, the vocational part.
A Cleveland police officer was arrested in Cog Falls. He was arrested at Red Fox Sports Pub on State Road last weekend, charged with disorderly conduct while intoxicated and carrying a concealed weapon, which was loaded, and illegal possession of a firearm in a liquor establishment, the last two being felonies.
Yikes.
Did you read his history?
No.
Yeah. Whoa. And I also saw the video of him in the cop car screaming at the other officers, "Don't you know who I am?"
That always
Oh, that's
works.
The best. Oh, man. Don't you know
According
who I
to
am?
The complaint, he was swearing at customers and refusing to leave around 2 in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
He was part of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That. Sorry.
No. The officer, Christopher Eric, has been suspended without pay pending the outcome of this. And coincidentally, he was also fired back in 2016 after he was part of a 28-minute police pursuit and standoff in which 2 people were killed after officers fired 137 shots into their car.
Oh my gosh, I remember that story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he got reinstated.
He and the rest of the officers got reinstated, yeah.
Yeah, boo.
What?
Okay, so he is a total, complete loose cannon and does not deserve to ever have a gun.
Yeah. Get him off.
He's the kind of person that doesn't need to have a badge.
Yeah. No.
Or a gun.
Yeah, for sure. That's scary.
That is scary.
Especially to be off duty and have a loaded gun on you.
In a bar.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he can
have a concealed carry, but he can't bring it into a bar.
Well, no, he can bring it into a bar.
You can bring it in,
you can't drink.
Yeah.
You can have it in the bar, but you can't drink.
You can't drink
alcohol.
You're
drinking, you can't have the gun.
Yeah.
It's either or in Ohio.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yikes. And of course, he knows that because
he's a cop.
Lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All just circling back to, you know, how some cops think they're above the law.
I am authority.
It gives the good cops a bad name. I mean, it's just not good. Not good.
No, they, we should, I hope that the police department comes right out and says, goodbye, you're fired. Right.
Well, it's not, right.
That, and,
it's
and
not
that other that officers easy. Speak out against his actions.
It's not that easy because, you know, the police unions protect them from almost everything. Well, they're, not from almost untouchable.
Not from this.
I guarantee you he might be suspended for a while, and they, you know, they'll somebody,
I think this is
a, some fucking review process and he'll be back on the force. You know it.
Oh, I hope not.
If it happened when he did that, it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
that was a pretty clear breaking of the law that he went into a bar and got drunk with his gun.
I understand
so that's,
that,
you know, him doing a cop chase and firing bullets at suspected people is part of his job. And, you know, I can see all the murky gray area, but this is just flagrant, I mean, breaking the law.
But the people that they shot weren't even armed, and it, they were racially profiling them.
Yes, they were. It was awful. My point was, I hope that the department speaks out against this guy and says, you know, against his actions, condemns them, and that more officers speak out against these kinds of things.
I'm not holding my breath. The system's broken. The unions, the police unions have too much power.
Yeah. He'll get swept under the rug and he'll get moved to some desk duty or something, whatever, and he'll still be on the force.
He'll be back, he'll be back and do his thing.
It'll blow over.
On that note.
Abrupt ending.
Oh my.
And finally, last piece of news here. James Vestwanick, it's hard to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, your guess is as good as mine.
A Cuyahoga Falls man who was arrested last year in connection to the 3-decade-old case of the murder of Barbara Blatnick has died of cancer awaiting trial. He was just arrested last year for this.
Such a sad case.
Oops. Yeah, that's, how long ago was that?
Well, 30, apparently
30 years ago?
30?
It was December 1987, and apparently that was 3 decades ago.
Oh my gosh, that's hard to believe, but I feel bad for the family, right? Because they were waiting so long to get, you know, justice, and I mean, That had been heartbreaking, and then he dies before even getting a chance to stand trial. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just kind of a sad situation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's karma working in a good way or a bad way.
Yeah,
kind of a double-edged sword.
Well, it's kind of hard to say whether or not he was guilty or not, since he didn't stand trial. But
so allegedly. Did forensic evidence reevaluated? Is that how they caught him? Or
was part of James Renner's program called Porchlight Project. And apparently they had paid for DNA testing from material under her fingernails.
Okay. Oh.
And then used forensic genealogy, I still can't say that word right.
Okay.
Of the results, and sort of just went from there.
So in other words, the genealogy companies are lending their database to law enforcement.
Yes.
So they can do a test and they can actually search for matches.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Did it say in the article whether or not he was accused of any other crimes? Because usually people just don't stop. I mean, it's sick, but they don't stop at one. You know, if he really did brutally murder and rape, you know, this poor woman, then do they think he might have done other crimes that may not have been solved yet?
That's what I'm actually looking into.
Yeah. I mean, with DNA, how much DNA has come from in 30 years that it just...
Yeah, because tests and technology keep developing, so it's so important to preserve that evidence when the crimes happen, because you never know. Like, look at all these Project Innocence things that are happening up with DNA.
True.
And
Or it goes both ways. Yeah, you're able to prove someone who is innocent and that's been in jail for 30 years, and then you also are able to find the person who committed the crime, you know.
Through a database search. Crazy.
Yeah.
It is pretty crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel a little, you know, back and forth on that one, because it's, you know, your privacy, but you know what you're doing when you're turning in your DNA for that.
That's not, who was it that was caught? What serial killer was caught through his family's
that
DNA.
That was the Golden State Killer.
Yeah. So the Golden State Killer didn't submit his DNA, but family members did. And that's how they got him. Yeah. So it is a privacy.
Yeah, because basically, if you had a bunch of family members who submitted, have their DNA in these databases, and you commit a crime, they can find you through that database.
Yeah.
Interesting. Relative, be aware. I mean, I want criminals to be caught. I do not want murderers and rapists out on the street, obviously. But then you also kind of worry about, our privacy. And if we don't have control of it, we're not actually submitting anything ourselves and can be tied back into us. It's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you sign up for these things, there's a bunch of disclaimers saying that they basically own the rights to your genetic code.
Which you are agreeing to it, but correct. Not necessarily I'm agreeing to it. I mean, if somebody in my family is doing it, I'm adopted, so I don't know who all my family members are. Somebody could make that decision for me on my behalf without myself consenting to it. And
the law behind a lot of that's still being fleshed out. They haven't really had enough court cases to really figure out the exact law, but all what's going on with that. But for right now, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad that, criminals are being caught. We don't want them on the street. They should stand trial for it and get a chance to prove themselves innocent or guilty. But there's also that, the other side of it is, the privacy. So interesting case.
Well, I did look into it here and a couple different articles, including from people. Mm-hmm. This guy has no other cases linked to him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, well, I mean, is that, I say
now, the question is, it's been a year, whether they'll find any more cases linked to him now after his death.
I mean, it doesn't mean that, this isn't a one-off. Maybe he just raped her and killed her and he just never did it again. Who knows?
Weird.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, somebody who's like going on and acting and living a normal life, I don't know if he had a family or if he was married or what, after doing something as horrific as that. You know what? If it really was him, and like I said, he didn't stand trial, so we can't say for sure, but it's, get him off our streets.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a history, if a history can tell anything, a lot of good people have done terrible, terrible things. You can be a good person and have done a terrible thing in the past. One
does not
negate the other.
But that's an extreme. Murdering and raping somebody is kind of like...
But I'm saying that people can disassociate from that and they can forget it never happened. Yes, their brain can do that. It can. I'm not saying it's... Obviously, the guy's a fucking rapist and murderer. If he actually did do it, then he should...
Right.
He deserves what he got.
Right.
He should have done it a long time ago when they caught him. They could have caught him ages ago, but it is what it is. But yeah, it's... If you commit one terrible thing, when my point is, they can fit into society and be completely normal, and they can even be a pastor or like a cool, good person you like. But if they did something terrible in the past and they kept it a secret and there's no evidence, it doesn't change.
That's true.
This is not reassuring.
It is not reassuring.
Human nature says you could be both.
Well, I watch enough murder mystery shows to know what you're saying, because it always is, they go talk to the neighbors and it's always, they were the nicest, quietest person ever. I would have never thought they were like that. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Sociopaths are people too.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. I can't think about it. I don't watch those murder shows and I don't want to. So, you can keep them.
Ooh, this is a tough podcast. So let's get some nice stuff. Let's talk about some good stuff.
So, Zan, do you got any good news this week?
I mean,
kind of terrible timing, but
we need a gentle segue into that.
I do.
There is no segue.
Hope Soap has moved to their new location on Front Street. It's 2101 Front Street. It's right by, I think, Astrid's Coffee. And as Jen and Steven said, that they went and visited. What was it like? You said it was large and had a lot of space. And
there was a lot of space there. And they had...
candles.
Yeah, they had candles and soaps. They had lining both walls. And then in the middle, too, they had stands and displays of their different products. And then towards the back is where the countertop are. So I'd never been in Hope Soap before. And one of the retail associates was very helpful and came and helped me look at some fragrances and showed me his favorites and stuff. So knowledgeable crew and very helpful. And I had no idea that was their a new place for them. It seemed like they'd been there for quite a while. I, of course, recognized the name of the company. I just didn't realize that they were new in that location. And I think Steve had said, this is their soft opening. And I was like, what? Soap's been around for a while. But I didn't know they moved. It didn't even seem like their business had been interrupted in any way. They were just there and natural.
They were quite busy when we went in. There was a lot of people in the store.
That was a Friday. That was a Friday night.
And you know, and like most places like that, the smell can be overwhelming if you're sensitive to smells. They're good smells, but there's a lot of scents going on.
It's a lot.
Right.
And sometimes I've gone to places like that, and it can give me a migraine headache if I'm in there too long. It'll overwhelm me. But I did not get a headache here.
I have kind of sensitivity to smell, too, even in their location that was on Portage Trail that was a little smaller. I've never walked in there and needed to get out because I have the same thing, sensitivity. It's just a good, it's very, I don't know. Maybe it's natural. I don't know the reason why, but.
Yeah, the essential oils were very nice and mild, not overwhelming at all.
Nope.
Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works is bad for headaches.
It usually gives me a headache when I go into Bath and Body Works. I have to stand outside.
But Hope Soaps was very, it had very soft scents. It was nice.
Well, I highly recommend everybody check it out. They have a good cause. They started because I think that they were doing a food truck for people that, you know, are homeless in Akron, and a lot of the profits goes to this. I forget what the name of it is called, but that's how Closet of Caring started. And because she was actually helping him out one time and realized that, you know, there was a need there, and that's how she developed. So I recommend it. I mean, the owner, Nathan, is, you know, a great guy, and, you know, he makes all this product. I'm assuming he's still making the product in store, and check it out.
Jennifer, has always been a big fan of Lush Cosmetics, which are all handmade in a similar way, the Hope Soap stuff. And I think the quality is every bit as good. They might not have the variety as of Lush, but their quality is right up there. It smells wonderful. And I was lucky to get out of there with just 5 pieces of soap sold. I thought she was getting a shopping basket for a minute.
Well, he tries stuff to shopping basket my hand, and I was like, don't do that. It's too dangerous. So.
Yeah,
they have a lot of different stuff in there to pick from.
Right. They have great stuff.
They have some pet stuff there, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have stuff like walking your dog or cat, I guess. Walking your dog in the wintertime or even on the hot pavement. They have like the pad protectors and paw protector stuff.
Oh, awesome.
And hand sanitizer. Their hand sanitizer is really awesome. They had this, what was it? What was the one that we really, really loved? I can't remember the smell of it. Still in my car.
Lavender vanilla?
Something like that. Yeah. It smelled so good. And I love, you know, using it. So, yeah. Lip gloss. They have, you know, moisturizer, face stuff for pets. Go check them out. Bart's Arts. What? Did we do it wrong? What's going on?
What is happening?
Did you want me to do it?
Yeah, I was like, usually you jump right in.
I didn't know what was happening.
That's the best
I had
one
a
ever.
Little.
All right. Keep it.
Moving on. Forget it.
I'm keeping do this it. One.
I don't even know what's happening.
The planets are not aligned.
Nope.
So the headliners for the final Friday night event this Friday will be Mark Lee Shannon with Jeff Clem opening for him. And this will be the final Friday night event for the summer.
The final one. Oh, my goodness.
And that's because the Oktoberfest is in a few weeks.
The Oktoberfest! Are we going?
Beer and French fries? Yeah.
It's been a couple years since we've gone together. What do you guys think? Should we go?
Bar crawl.
If the weather's good, absolutely. If it's raining, then I would say no.
Okay, good point.
I'm in. If the weather's good, I'm down.
All right.
Sweatshirt weather, heck yeah. Hoodies.
Oh, I know. Let's hope so.
But it could be hot too. Could be hot.
Yeah.
True.
Hot girl
fall. Could be both.
Next, Upfront Art Space will be hosting a one-night meet-and-greet for local artist Asena Brown and her exhibit, Colorful Imagination. This will happen on September 10th.
Colorful Imagination. I like that name.
What's her medium? What is she a painter?
She's a painter, but she also does a lot of different mediums.
Okay. Like mixed media and painting.
Yeah. It looks like this exhibit may just be the paintings, but their Facebook page does say that it could, you know, it's all of her work.
Cool. Did you know that New Milk is now the Democratic local Cuyahoga Falls Democratic headquarters?
The location.
Oh, we were walking downtown and we saw, we're like, wasn't that used to be their office?
Yeah. This,
okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And also another note, in conjunction with Upfront Art Space and Kay, the one of the owners, I have three of my images printed large and installed in some of the downtown buildings on Front Street.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Congratulations. Where? Can you tell us where? Or
well,
do you
I know
need to
one of
for
them?
Them.
One of them is in the hallway of in between the Mega Wine Bar, Magna mm-hmm. Wine Bar, and bookstore.
Oh, well, that
yeah,
just...
in that hallway, one of them's in that hallway, and then there's two more in another building, which was locked, and I didn't get a chance to go see it, but it's right in the same area.
Cool. Sweet.
Very cool.
And finally, the Whiskey Painters of America exhibit at the Cuyahoga Valley Art Center starts on August 31st, this Tuesday, and goes through October 7th.
You had me at whiskey.
This is the largest collection of whiskey paintings in one location. Whiskey paintings are small watercolor miniatures created by dipping a paintbrush in alcohol instead of water.
Sipping. I'm like, that's my kind of art.
So this should be pretty interesting. It goes through all of September.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
So we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. And we want to thank Sean and Jesse for speaking with us also. That was a pretty interesting interview. I did it in person.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah.
First one in person.
So wow. There are some fluctuations in the audio. I cleaned it up pretty well, though.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to listen and hear.
Yeah. I recorded it in the Tiki Room. So,
oh, did you?
The acoustics are good in there.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they also went all over the place. So stick around for that interview. And remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees. So shout them out to us at fallsfreepress@gmail.com. And be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere if you enjoyed what you heard. So for now, we hope you will join us next week. And remember to get a shot.
And maybe a shot. Wear a mask.
Yes.
Wear a mask.
And Alex needs to upgrade his internet.
Yes.
Alex, upgrade your internet. We miss you.
No, we don't.
Still
we
hate you. Yeah, aww. There you go. Aww,
love and hate. Two faces of the same coin.
We've already talked about that, about how his real feelings are. He has to mask it with hate. The love is so strong, he has to mask it with hate.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yes.
It's not like his hate is actually not. It's very transparent, his actual feelings. Okay. We all know.
We all know.
Easy now. No psychoanalysis. I'm already done with the murderers and the psychopaths. So move on. Goodbye.
Yes. Well, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Say yep.
And this week we're here with Sean and Jesse, owners of Tiki Underground. Thank you guys for being on the show this week.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
To be here.
So you guys are the owners of Tiki Underground. How long has Tiki been here on Akron Peninsula, or is it Akron Cleveland?
Yeah, it's Akron Cleveland. Yeah.
So we're going on our we're currently working towards our fifth year. We started out a little over 4 years ago. We opened in February for a soft opening. I think
2017.
Yeah, it was like the 26th. So yeah, we're gonna hit 5 years soon.
Oh wow! And if the name doesn't point it out to people, what was the decision behind the tiki theme?
That came from me. I've been involved in tiki culture for, wow, we were trying to figure this out the other day. I keep saying the same year, and it's been 5 years since I keep saying it. So I'm going on probably close to 20 years of tiki. I started it in my basement bar years ago, before I met Jesse. And I had an old bar that was built into the house and didn't have any character, and I was looking for something different. And I started playing around on the internet and found a site called Tiki Central, and I liked rum drinks, and I liked fruit drinks, and I liked that style, and I found this whole world that had been hidden from me for years that was very popular in the 40s and 50s, and had actually kind of died down at that point. There wasn't really any tiki bars in the area, so I had to do some research, find ways, and we decorated my bar, and then from there, it blew up. And then when I met Jessie, introduced her to it. She had never even heard of anything like it. And then we started traveling and going to different tiki bars across the country. And at that point, tiki was starting to come back. And she had convinced me that, hey, why don't we do this on our own? I think we could do this. So
part of the inspiration for the name Tiki Underground comes from that, because it was Sean's basement bar. So we thought it'd be fun to capture that in the name.
And this still is pretty much one of the only tiki, I think the only tiki bar in the general area.
That is correct. The closest one, right? I mean, trying to think of the closest one. There's one in Cleveland called Porco's. It's, you know, excellent. I know the owner. He opened about a year or two before we did. We are actually really seriously thinking about it at the same time when he opened his. Porco's has been hugely successful, but unfortunately due to COVID, they've been closed.
Oh, no.
They're working on coming back, but there's been some setbacks and stuff. But I see them coming back very strong anytime. There also is a tiki bar in Columbus.
It's in Powell. So yeah. It's kind of a northern suburb.
Yeah.
It's about 2 hours from here. Hooli Hooli.
Yeah.
Good and name.
That's pretty much it for Ohio.
Yeah.
And there used to be a few other tiki bars, but they've all since closed. And the most famous one is the Kahiki Supper Club. So tiki has actually a really strong history in Ohio, believe it or not. And when the Kahiki was open in Columbus, that was one of the largest tiki bars in the country. It was almost 20,000 square feet. And they were open from 1961 to 2000. So there's a lot of people in Ohio, in particular in Columbus, who love tiki culture because they grew up going to the Kahiki.
Speaking of the one bar that had to close down due to COVID, did you guys have any issues in the last couple of years?
We definitely had, just like anybody else, some really strong, big struggles. It's not easy, and we still continue. All restaurants and bars currently are struggling. It seems like a different problem each time. Originally, COVID, of course, shut us down for a few months. We opened back up, limited, just like everybody else. But we had to find ways to survive, and we did. And so far, we're doing okay. Now it's the fact of trying to find people to work. It's been really a difficult time in the restaurant industry in Ohio and bar industry, and we're no exception. We've been bit by the bug itself, and it's been rough. But we're still getting by. We have a lot of very loyal people that come to us and take care of us, buying our drinks, purchasing stuff online. We sell mugs, T-shirts, hats. We do anything we can, but you know they're the ones that kept us going.
Wonderful.
And I'll give you another example of that. We have to pay fees to three different music services because we have bands and DJs that play here, and we also play music, just over the speakers. So like ASCAP and BMI, and those fees are about $5,000 to $6,000 a year, which for a bar our size is a lot of money. And because we were closed for 6 out of the 12 months, we asked them if we could have the fees prorated. And two of the services refused, and the other one did, but it was only a minor amount. So there's a local musician, Chris Butler, who's very famous for being in The Waitresses. He came forward and raised some funds to help pay those fees for us. So that's another example, completely out of the blue, of somebody stepping up and doing something that is very helpful and helped us stay.
And that's impressive for anybody to do that. But just Chris is an awesome guy to begin with.
He really is. That was very touching. And it was moments like that where we said, we've got to find a way to make this work. And that's part of why we've made the decision to move, because we want to go to an area that has a much more thriving cocktail scene. You know, we think, you know, we have a better chance of reaching a lot more people. And we also have the opportunity to purchase a building, which, believe it or not, actually cuts our expenses, because we're looking very closely at our expenses right now. You know, we have to be careful with that in order to keep going.
Speaking of moving, you guys are moving to Cauga Falls.
We are. We're so excited.
Yes. When will the official move date be?
I think that's one of the most common questions we get. And our goal was to try to move by the end of this year. That may or may not happen. You know, we still have some equipment, inspections, you know, things that we have to go through. More likely will be the beginning of 22.
Okay.
Yeah, with COVID, of course, with everything else, there's a lot of question marks and mysteries coming with it, and supply and demand and demand chains. And we're running into some of those issues currently right now, not only with just trying to find contractors, but also buying the equipment we need in the restaurant and bar. Well, it's going to be a bar. So that's where we're at.
Why did you choose the Hunt's location?
In life, I always say there's no
coincidences.
There's things that happen. About 3-4 years ago, one of our main bartenders happened to mention the Hunt's building had closed. And, well, wouldn't that be a great place to be? Well, at the time, we really didn't think we could ever move. We weren't really on our schedule. We were kind of happy where we were at. We were still building our name and our brand. And it's like, yeah, maybe one of these days. And then COVID happened, and then we were like, well, do we reopen? And then our lease was coming up, and it's like, well, if we're going to move, probably be a good time to look into it. So we started looking into it, and we were lucky enough to get a hold of Leslie and talk to her, and she's like, yeah, it's for sale. She was willing to sell it to us, and she's been working with us to purchase it. She's been a great supporter of ours, and we're just really happy to be able to be in that building. It's a perfect location. It's a beautiful location across from that park, right next to the hotels. And we have a lot of resources there we can use to build out not only Tiki Underground, but also help Cuyahoga Falls bring more people in.
Because we get people that visit us from all over the country, and it's very exciting to have a great hotel like Sheraton Suites right across the street. So we'll be able to not only fill rooms there, but maybe partner, you know, on events, things like that. I'd say also the architecture and the history with that building was very interesting to us. The space is exactly what we had in mind when we first were thinking about Tiki Underground. The space that we're in now has been awesome, but it's bigger than we had expected. We wanted something that was more of a narrow bar, it was more intimate. And once you see all the decor and how we fix everything up, you're going to understand why it's the right space for us.
Now is one of the questions I was wondering, because you do have a big space here where you can have a band playing on stage. People can sit down and enjoy it, whereas they can also sit at the bar away from the music. Mm-hmm. You have a much smaller space now.
Yes.
So how will this differ with the atmosphere?
Yeah, I think when we start out, we won't be able to host bands like we do today. So if you have a band that's, you know, 3 or 4 pieces, drum kit, it's too small of a space for that. We have a couple of ideas of how we can accommodate that in the future, but right now we're focusing on getting open, and then we'll do that. We do plan on having smaller, either acoustic or duos, as well as DJs. And we've got a whole group of vinyl DJs that we've worked with in the past. So we're going to plan on rotating them through on the weekends. So we'll still have live music. It'll just be in a little bit different form for our first probably 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, because at your current location, you've had quite a few different bands. A lot of Hawaiian style music, but also, like, you had the Mistletoes here a couple years ago. But, yeah, it's all you have so many large-scale different, you know, bands coming in, and you've got a hotel next door is a smaller one, but having the Sheraton nearby would be a lot easier.
Definitely. So I think we saw the commitment to bring live music to the area. The way we do that's just going to be a little bit different, if that makes sense. We were also really excited to bring in some national acts, like some of the surf music we brought in was from High Tide Recordings in Asbury Park, New Jersey, as well as we had bands from Argentina, from Minnesota,
Las Vegas.
So we had a lot of different bands come through here. Excited to keep doing that. So,
speaking of live music, last weekend was the Tiki Flea. That's outside this current location. Where did the idea for the Tiki Flea come about? It's definitely not something you see very often.
Yeah. when we did a soft opening before we opened, of course, and we invited a lot of the people that helped us put this place together. We collected a lot of different pieces of arts and just tiki stuff from different people, and we wanted to let them come in and experience it first. So all those people came. A lot of them know each other, but they hadn't seen each other in a while. We have another guy named Tiki Skip that's down from Columbus. He came up, and he doesn't get out that often. And he met a bunch of other people that helped us, and they had such a great time. They're like, "You want to do a Tiki Flea?" And I was just like, "Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna do it. That's too much.
We got enough to do."
Yeah, we got enough to do. And then they were like, "Well, you know what? Fine. I go, yeah, we'll do something." And we'll just put them in the corner of the parking lot. They can visit, have a few drinks, and enjoy their time here. That's cool. I don't have a problem. So I started talking to Jesse about it. She's like, "Yeah, this could work." And we started, looking for vendors. And we found some vendors from outside the state. And it started to grow. And I was like, "Wow, this could be something." I'm like, "Well, we'll toss it up there. We'll probably get 50 people or something." The first day, it was one of the biggest train wrecks we ever had because there were so many people here.
Probably had about 300 or 400 people.
We had about 300 people. It was in Cleveland Scene magazine on the front page, and it was on TV, and it blew up. And we didn't expect it the first time, but the next time we were ready. We were ready to go. But that's how it came about. It's just these people came, and it is to this day. It's a big kind of a celebration. We have a great time.
We actually have a few artists and vendors who've been with us since that very first flea. And last Saturday was the 10th one that we've done. Or 9th. 9th one that we've done. So I feel like we're doing something right if they keep coming back. And each time we have one, we have new artists to feature, new vendors, new bands, and then, of course, old favorites, so, which is good.
Are you guys considering continuing this tradition down on Front Street?
We are. We've had some initial conversations with Parks and Rec for Cuyahoga Falls, and they've been awesome. So we just have to kind of sort out the details and the timing. But our goal would be to have it in the park across the street. We would have so much more room.
Oh, yeah.
Every year, we don't really advertise this, so it's kind of first time I really said it. We'd have to turn down artists and vendors for the flea because we only have room for a certain number here.
Yeah.
At the park, we would be able to expand that out and invite a lot more people. And I also think we would get a bigger crowd because they do such a good job of hosting events in downtown Cuyahoga Falls. It's not just on us to promote it. They get the word out on their own. They have their own vehicles.
Well, and being downtown Cuyahoga Falls, as great as the building is here, unless you know it's happening, and you're driving down by 303, you wouldn't know it was happening.
You never know. No, you're right. Yeah.
And I have to give a shout out to the city of Cuyahoga Falls. Since we started this venture, trying to open up and getting this place ready, they have been more than hospitable. It's been incredible, and we're really happy that they've been there for us and continue to be. We can't wait to be partners with them. It's been exciting.
Are you guys expecting it's going to have a different clientele than up this way, down there? Or are you guys going to change the menu any?
Drink-wise, we're going to stay the same, pretty much. It's what got us here. We're going to be more towards the bar side of things when we move up that way. We've already started that now. The food menu will be, I don't know what you would call it, but just more like
small plates
and stuff like that. There's so many wonderful places to eat downtown Cuyahoga Falls. I don't think we could really compete against some of the places that are there, but we can do our drinks and we could actually be a good good match for a lot of the restaurants down there. When they come in, get a drink or two, go have some dinner, or maybe come back on the way back. I think it's going to be a good fit.
I think we expect to see most of our regulars follow us because most of them live within a few miles of this place, or they're tiki people. So no matter where we go, they're going to figure out a way to get there. But we expect to draw a much bigger audience there because there's such a good cocktail culture already. And people are very curious to try new things. One of the challenges we've had in this location is we get a lot of new customers and they're uncomfortable trying something new. They don't understand rum or they don't understand tiki. And instead of being open to learning about it, having an adventure, you know, they would rather, you know, get the same drink that they always get or beer or vodka soda. So I think we'll be more successful in downtown Cuyahoga Falls reaching a lot of new people.
What do you love about the falls? I mean, that was the perfect pick, you know, for moving. But what do you love about Cuyahoga Falls in general? And what do you think you're going to probably enjoy more about being down there?
I think the fact that it's such a walkable downtown, we love the energy of being able to go between different bars and restaurants. The river is beautiful. And having that accessibility and events that are based around that natural resource, we love that. Definitely support of the city. That was something we were really looking for because we felt if we want to be successful, a lesson we learned during COVID, you can't do it on your own. You need the support of other people. And we really feel that from the city of Cuyahoga Falls. And I think the last thing is really having the accessibility from the highway. You know, Cuyahoga Falls is still pretty good proximity to Cleveland. We have a big fan base in Cleveland and also Pittsburgh. So for folks coming in on the turnpike, it's very easy to get to. So we felt like it was an ideal location.
And are you guys, I'm assuming, you're still going to keep the same tiki theme?
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, we've got some surprises.
Oh, good.
We're going to do this one up. I decorated this entire place myself, pretty much. I had some help, of course, but majority of it was my ideas and my planning. We have another person, a couple more people helping us this time around, and I'm sharing my vision with them, and they understand it, and it's going to be something else. They're going to be excited.
Awesome. And finally, I guess you've still got to at least until the end of this year before you guys open the new location. Do you have any really great memories of this place and all the time that you've been?
Oh, there's so much. This was our first venue. We're not bar and restaurant people.
It just happened.
We wanted to do it. We did our homework. We did a lot of studying to figure out what we needed to do, and we did it. But so many different memories. I can't even tell you. You know, it's just the people, and I think that's what we learned the most about the bar industry is it's about the people, and if you treat them right and you treat them like family, like we do. They'll come back and they enjoy it. And that's the thing. The people have been so much fun. Just meeting. I can't tell you how many people that we became friends with or we know on a daily basis. Or they've reached out to us. It's like family. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, and I would add, we started Tiki Underground because we wanted to promote tiki culture. And we wanted a place in the Akron area where you could get a great cocktail that had more than three ingredients. And there's not many places to do that. Out of that, what was a surprise to us were all of the artists and musicians that came here and we were able to support and share the work that they do and their talent in a way that you normally don't see in this area. And what I mean by that is having a surf band from Argentina or having a band that performs punk songs, 60s style, from somebody who grew up in Dayton, Ohio, lived in LA for 10 years and then came back. Having circus performers doing sideshow acts, like walking on nails and having cement blocks, you know, on their as they're lying down. Yep. So those are some of my favorite memories, you know, what the artists and musicians brought here outside of the cocktails and the people that we've met, which has been incredible. I'd say one of our funniest memories, since I brought up the sideshow performance that we hosted, we had somebody here from Australia. Her name is Abby, and she was performing in a local burlesque festival, and she said, can we do a sideshow performance at Tiki Underground? Of course. And she is one of the nicest people we've ever met, very talented in so many ways. She ate a light bulb which I've never seen. It was pretty amazing, and chewed it and swallowed it. Took about 10 minutes. So that was a pretty incredible memory in itself. But she told us, she said, I really want to open a tiki bar. And she had asked us some questions and actually followed up a few times. And she went back to Adelaide, Australia. And about 6 months later, she opened her own tiki bar.
Wow.
Which was such an incredible experience, because a lot of people say that, and then she did it. And throughout the years that followed, we've supported each other. When they had the fires in Australia, we did a fundraiser here and served one of her cocktails. I think we raised almost $1,000, which she donated to local firefighters. Same thing during COVID. She bought our to-go meals, and we donated it to the local industry, you know, people who were out of work.
Yeah.
So just that back and forth, you know, for somebody who's on that, I mean, halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And it came out of something that was so simple. I think moments like that, that's when we stop and we say, we're so glad we did this, and we can't wait to continue.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you guys for sitting down and talking with me. For currently, where can people come to check out the Tiki Underground?
So they can find us at 5893 Akron Cleveland Road. And our mailing address is Hudson. But for the locals, you will recognize us on Old 8, just south of 303. And we're literally halfway between downtown Hudson and downtown Peninsula. So if that makes sense to you, come visit us. If not, go to tikiunderground.com. We're on all the social medias at Tiki Underground. And see what's happening, and you'll be able to find us because there's a map, fortunately, there.
And we also, my wife, Jessie, always updates that page. It always comes up with stuff on there. So it's not like you're going to find stuff from 6 months ago. Whatever's going on this week's going to be up there. So.
Definitely.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you, and we'll see everyone next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I guess you really needed that coffee in order to make the coffee.
That was my second cup. So, my brain wasn't working.